Okay. All right, I'm going to go to the Government Operations Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
Yes, thank you. The Government Operations Committee met on July 23rd. Many of the items that we discuss on the 23rd will be coming to the legislature, not necessarily tonight, but at our meetings in the near future. So I'm going to limit my report tonight to those items that are included in the resolutions that you have before you, starting with Resolution C. Resolution C, which is ID 4289, Budget Adjustment and Appropriation of Unspent Funds from 2012 and Prior Years to Various Accounts and Departments that Report to the Government Operations Committee. And I so move.
Seconded by Mike. Discussion. Ready to vote? This is a short roll call.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Would anyone wish to be recorded as no? All right, that's unanimous.
The second resolution that we have tonight from the GO Committee is D, ID number 4285. Approving revisions to Administrative Policy 01-06, Public Access to Records, and adopting the complementary regulations for public access to records of Tompkins County, New York. And I am moving the version that is in your packet.
I move by Pat, seconded by Dave. Dooley.
You may have noticed that at the GO Committee, I had a negative vote, and I wanted to explain why, and why I put something in your red folders. I certainly agree that we need to have a policy that makes it clear that we are complying with the Freedom of Information Law. We need regulations to that end also. And what this version of our public access to records policy does is make it clear that we are complying with FOIL. What it doesn't make clear, at least when I read it, is that it is possible to treat requests for information and access for records in a more informal way by going in person to any department or division office and asking for them. And it's acceptable, it's been our practice, at least in some departments I know, that the staff there will just get out whatever it is you want to look at without having you fill out a Freedom of Information Act request form. And I want to make sure that staff and the public know that that's an acceptable practice. And that's what I see missing in this resolution and in the policy. So what I asked to have put in your red folders has two changes. One is in the resolution itself, which was purely editorial. It has to do with the fact that the title of the regulations are, they were in italics, and the way the sentence was worded, it made it sound like regulations, ... was. So by inserting the word document and then giving the title of the document in quotes, you can say the document was. So that's editorial in the resolution. I hope that will not be found inappropriate. The more substantive changes I put in your packet are the wordings that deal with requests for public access to records. There's no page number, so I don't know what to tell you to look at. It's page 2 of the suggested changes I put in. It would say a request for access to records may be submitted orally in person to whichever Tompkins County government office is appropriate, and or in writing by email or online from the county website. If this is a FOIL request, when it is received by county administration office, it will be routed to the appropriate county department. I think that makes it clear that you can do it informally or formally. I keep hearing my voice as though I'm fading in and out, but I'm trying not to move. So what do I need to do? You can hear me.
You should be farther back. What?
Responses to any such requests are bound by the FOIL exclusions. See Procedure B below. That's what's important for people who are treating information and records requests more informally, to recognize that they're still bound by the FOIL exclusions that protect privacy and other things.
And then, Julie, hold on.
Yes?
I'm trying to understand Jim's sign language up there. You want her away, like about a foot away from... We should be about a foot away?
I would love to be a foot away.
All right, we'll try that.
So I think I had pretty much finished what I wanted to say, which is that those changes plus one additional change on the next page, the third page, which repeats a request for access to records shall be submitted orally in person and or on a standard form in writing, etc. So there were two places I wanted to make it clear in our policy that although we will always comply with FOIL, you don't always have to fill out a form to get access to records. So I'd like to, well, what I do, I want to move the changes to the resolution. I also want to move changes to the policy. And how would you like me to separate those?
Well, I think maybe the resolution, changes in the language of the resolution are probably not controversial, so maybe we should move that. And then,
all right, I'll move the changes to the resolution.
Is there a second? Second by Pam. Discussion? Frank.
Do we were all these changes discussed at the committee?
The resolution change was not.
All right, Pat.
Yes, I was just going to say exactly what Frank just asked a question about, is that the language that you have in front of you in your packet was discussed extensively at the committee. Dooley suggested a number of changes as we went through this process, and they were aired, they were discussed, and after a great deal of discussion, including going into the history of why we have a FOIL policy at all, and what the purpose of it is, and why the language needs to be the way that it is, the committee was satisfied that the language that you have in your packet is the language that the committee wants to recommend to the legislature. So given that that's the case and the vote was 4-1 in the committee to keep the language as you see it in the packet, first of all, I did not feel comfortable bringing the language that Dooley had suggested forward because I didn't think it would be in keeping with the will of the committee. But also, I just want to assure the legislature that these proposed changes, particular, we're talking about the resolution right now, but I will also say that the changes in the document itself, the policy itself, were not accepted by the committee, and in some cases because they had legal implications for the county that were not thought to be prudent to include.
Okay, I have, I think I have Brian, Kathy Luce, and then Pam. That, Brian, did you signal? I wasn't sure. You want to?
I didn't, but I will.
okay.
No, but that was going to be my question precisely, is how much of this has been run through the county attorney's office? It's specifically the changes that are being proposed right now.
All right, let's just talk. We're just talking about the resolution.
I went over the resolution this morning with John, or this afternoon with Jonathan.
Okay, Jonathan.
Just make sure. I was there at the committee during all this discussion. I did discuss this with Julie today.
Jonathan, first, could you come closer?
Sure, closer or further. Like I said, I was involved in the drafting of the policy, and I was there at the committee to hear this discussion. And I did discuss this with Julie today. My personal response is that the proposed changes to the resolution are not substantive and are fine, but the changes to the policy are significant, and I could not, I do not think they're wise. Let's put it that way.
Okay. So we've got Kathy, Luz, Pam, Carol, and then Peter.
Well, my comments about the resolution are different than my comments about the proposed policy, but with some discretion, I'll just lump them both together. Resolution comments are fine. Policy changes, to me, they're odd, and I'll just give an example. I have a constituent that has informed me several times of his request for FOIL, and each time it's been an informal one, and when he hasn't received a response, I have asked if he has anything in writing. It is better to have something in writing, don't you agree? To this day, he thinks his FOIL request hasn't been accepted, and I'm in the process of helping him with that, but it's difficult in the absence of some form of documentation. So I'm going to go with the will of the committee, not because it was 4-1. As you all know, I have no problem bringing a different idea forward outside the majority, but in this case, I believe that what the committee is going with is the right way to go.
Thank you. Pam?
Well, I guess we're talking about both of these things right now.
Well, I think it
Let's do the resolution.
Let's, if we can try the resolution, I think that would be great. Okay. Okay. Carol.
Excuse mine me. Is also about the policy. So I'll wait then, but I'd like to stay in line.
All right, I'm making another line. Peter?
I was going to talk about the policy as well. I think we're ready for a vote on the resolution.
Yeah. Is there any other discussion on the changes in the language on the resolution? Remind me, was it moved and seconded?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right. All in favor of the revised resolution, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Resolution as amended. Right. Opposed? 3. That passes 12-3. So now we have in front of us the policy. let me go to Pat. Was there anything... is there anything you want to add from the committee's point of view about the policy?
One thing that I could say is that part of the discussion had to do with our organizational culture. And it was pointed out that, I think it was Joe that pointed this out, is that despite the fact that what is in writing is intended to and does follow what we're asked to do by the state and federal government in terms of access. We have a history, and departments, to the extent that they're able to do it, given their workload and the type of request that is being made, do sometimes, when people walk in, provide the information that's asked for right on the spot. So what we have here in writing does not preclude people from responding immediately if the circumstances are such that they can do so. But as a matter of public policy, it's important that we reiterate that we do have a policy in place that is in compliance with both state and federal policy around access to records.
Okay, I've got Pam, Carol, Pam, Carol, Peter, and then Dooley.
Well, I guess my question is there anything standing in the way of our doing this? Because in fact, if there's nothing that's legally standing in the way of our doing this, I am in favor of doing it, because I don't know how many times I've had complaints from constituents about every time they go in and try and get a piece of information, they have to fill out a Freedom of Information form. And it is, it's really intimidating. And for somebody, if you have somebody who doesn't write well, who doesn't read well, not being able to just ask for something, I think is really a burden, too much of a burden. And so if there is a legal reason why we can't do this, then I would consider that. But I think that as a general rule, that we should make the information that we hold for our constituents and for the people of this county, that we should make it as available to them as we possibly can. And even if somebody comes in and makes an oral request, that doesn't mean the department person or whoever it is handling it has to hop to it and answer that request right away. But they can take the information and get back to them or whatever. You can make arrangements. But, man, I'll tell you, I have done a lot of FOIL, and it's a pain in the neck. You know, you go to the building department in the city of Ithaca and you want to look at a file or something, you have to fill out a FOIL request for every file you want to look at. And I think it's intimidating. I think it's off-putting for people not having access to this information easily.
I'll ask Jonathan to weigh in on the legality.
Well, two things. I mean, obviously, people come all the time and ask for information and get it. In terms of the law requires that we abide by FOIL and that we have a FOIL policy. This is the policy implementing that. I'm, for example, in the FOIL appeals officer. I don't know how I could possibly do an appeal on somebody who called up or orally said something. I don't see how you can go through the process without it being in writing. It doesn't preclude someone coming in, which happens every day, and say, could I look at or can you tell me? But if someone wants to follow the FOIL procedure and they want to be able to follow it and appeal to me, you know, go to the Freedom of Information officer, make sure that he has seen it, and then if they're not like the response, make sure it gets an appeal, and the notice is supposed to go to the state. I don't know how you do that if it's oral. So I do have a legal problem with it.
Okay, the list is Carol Peter, Dooley Will Bryan.
I raised my hand quite a long time ago.
Well, I'll put you back on, Pat, but you already had another shot. Okay, we'll come back to you. Carol.
Yeah, so I also wanted to pursue this question about what happens when somebody comes in and asks for something verbally, orally, and I have a concern that our staff not end up responding by building up a backlog of complicated written requests. As I know that's been a problem in some other municipalities. So I'm not sure why we can't have in here. I understand why this wording is a little bit confusing because it just says if you say it orally, you've done it. You've made your FOIL request. But why there couldn't be some wording that makes it clear to people that they're free to come in and ask for something verbally, that if they're then told that that's something that needs to be requested in writing, then they can go and follow the FOIL process. So I would, Dooley, maybe you could work your magic and come up with wording, and I'll think about this or I could do it on the fly here. A request for access to records under general information may be submitted. A request for access to records may be, I was going to say, requested orally, period, if such request is subject to the FOIL process.
Okay, Carol.
Then that person would submit, and we'd say in writing by email and go on with the rest of this, and I'd do the same thing under Section 3.
All right, now, Carol, I'm gonna turn us to Paula. She just pointed to me, made a packet page 16, and if you would like to go to the mic and describe what's here,
Mic's not on.
Not on.
Yeah, good. Thanks.
You have in the resolution the reference to the more expansive regulations document. Part of that is right behind the policy on package page 16. In section 5, the opening part of that section, it says that a written request may be required, but oral requests may be accepted when records are readily available. One of the reasons why we had this regulations document is so that it would provide as much detail as we possibly could about how FOIL should be handled, both on the part of the requester as well as on the part of staff that would be handling that request. If I just might also add that FOIL is based on the presumption of access, and it promotes openness in government. That's the intent. And it affirms your right, everyone's right to know. But it also offers particular guidelines here, because we also are responsible for the confidentiality of information, for any sensitivities of information, contractual violations and such. So, therefore, that is the reason why it might be most prudent, as best as possible, to put the kind of information in writing, because that also helps the staff person or staff persons when they're pulling the information together. It also confirms to the requester that we follow through on what they asked.
So a follow-up, if I may. This is exactly the wording that I was looking for that you have here. So a written request may be required, but oral requests may be accepted when records are readily available. Why not just repeat that right here in the policy under general information there instead of Dooley's suggestion?
Well, one of the things that we were attempting to do with the regulation document was offer all of the detail and streamline the policy for those things that we felt staff needed to know to just, you know, give them immediate guidance. So we followed both of the guidelines from the Committee on Open Meetings, both in how we structured the policy and then how we put together the complementary guidelines, the complementary regulations.
Okay, I'm going to go to Peter.
Yeah, we spent a long time discussing this at the GO meeting. I don't remember how long, but all of these points were made, and all of these points were rejected. And I believe that people are, it just comes and goes, I believe that people are trying to make a problem that does not exist. I am told, I don't know this to be true, but I'm told that the town of Ithaca requires a FOIL request for every piece of information they ask. That's ridiculous. We don't do that. And we, in fact, I believe, have got a kind of a tradition here that we answer requests of people who are asking for them as quickly as we can. I know I've done that with the assessment department. You call up and ask what's the assessment on a property, they tell you. You call up and ask what are the rules on this, people tell you. I've also gotten requests from people having to do with Hanshaw Road when they wanted me to tell them all the information that this, that, and the other thing, and I say to them, file a FOIL request. That's not my business to try to figure out all of that. Simple requests we can take care of, complicated ones we can. I think this is a technical problem. I think that Paula knows how to write these things, and all of these things were discussed with Paula. I am told that all of these things were discussed with Paula and Jonathan. They took many of Dooley's recommendations and discarded others, and they discarded them because they didn't fit into the context of how this is written. I think my inclination to do this is like telling people how to design the Newfield Bridge. It's a technical item, and it's not something for the legislators to do. There is no problem, and I do not believe that we should put aside those that we have on our staff who know what these things are about and how to write them. So I will vote no on all of these.
We got Dooley, Will, Brian, Pat, and Frank.
Well, I think I understand better now than I did at committee what Paula's motivation was in putting this together the way it has been put together. I think it's important, however, that what has been described as our organizational culture be summarized in a simple way in our policy. Otherwise, we are in danger of turning into the city of Ithaca or the town of Ithaca, where you really do have to fill out form after form. I think it's very important and useful to have a written FOIL request form when it's needed. So I agree with what Kathy said earlier. But I also think it would be a real misfortune if we wound up requiring written requests all the time. And now that Paula has pointed out the language on page 16, I'm looking at that. And section 4, the sentence, and section 5, the first sentence, I think those two things would be well moved into the policy itself as the initial language under request for public access to records. I would be happy to substitute those for my wording. I don't really care about the wording so long as the point is made that we can do things in an informal way and not only under a written FOIL request. One of the things, I'm changing the subject a little bit now, one of the things that I suggested at the committee after discussion had gone on for a while was that it appeared to me that this particular policy just addresses public access to records under the Freedom of Information Law. And if that's true, why don't we just change the title of the policy and make it clear that that's all that this is about, and then somewhere else make it clear that we have other ways for people to ask for records. And that didn't go anywhere either at committee, but that was a fallback position for me, because either this, in my view, this policy should be limited in title to just saying we're dealing with FOIL, or if it's going to remain our general public access to records statement, then it should also include the fact that we are allowed to be more informal. So rather than making a motion to change anything right now, I would welcome more discussion. I don't want to repeat everything that happened at GEO.
All right. Julie, have you moved your changes in language?
Yes. I thought they were done jointly with the resolution.
No.
They were. Okay. All right.
Has the changes in language been seconded?
I will move.
Okay.
What?
There's no motion on the table.
I will make a motion.
Okay.
I will make a motion in the policy itself, under legislative policy statement, to break what had been one paragraph into two paragraphs, as you see it on the page. I will make also, the motion includes changing the language that is under requests for public access to records to include instead, records shall be available for public inspection and copying at a location identified by each county department. Requests for public access to records shall be accepted and records produced during all hours regularly open for business. A written request may be required, but oral requests may be accepted when records are readily available. And that's the motion I will make.
Okay, so it's not just the first, I see, section 4 and section 5 from the regulations. Is there a second for that amendment? Pam, second. Okay, so we have something specific on the table. I've got Will, Brian, Pat, Frank, Carol, and Mike. Leslie. Will.
Thank you. I was not on the committee. I was not privy to that conversation. I'm sure that the committee did indeed, as Peter said, wrestle with it and try to come up with it. Peter, I must disagree with you. It is a technical question, but it's also a perceptual question, how we are perceived by the public. And as you have pointed out, other governments have been much more restrictive. FOIL is a two-edged sword. It was passed with the best of intentions to both provide access to the public, but also to provide a mechanism for orderly responding to that and some limits. But it also can be abused. When I first ran for public office, I was running for a seat on the town of Ithaca, and at that time, what we had been told that was literally every request required a written formal request. It was utterly off-putting, and I ran on it, and as people that I talked with were made aware of that, they said, please, please get in there and change it. While I was on the town board, my understanding was that it actually had been relaxed. Whether it's reverted, I don't truly know. We've talked a little bit about organizational culture, and as we know, this does evolve over time. I think what we are attempting at this moment is to try to get in words a policy that accurately reflects the culture that I think we all understand and I hope accept, that we try to be responsive, that we respond quickly in a complete method as we can, but we cannot always do that, and that FOIL exists to provide an organized mechanism. But if it can be done quickly and informally on the spot, so much the better. We will seek to do that. Dooley's proposed language, to my mind, addresses that, and I will support it.
Okay, Brian.
So you get a request that you want to answer quickly and informally. However, it doesn't get answered quickly. You have no documentation that shows the start of the start time of the request. So, is that technically a request? For one, and secondly, other than the everyday mundane type, informational policies and that sort of stuff, sure. But things that have actual information in them, we had better be careful that they're, first off, that they're timely by law and that they're properly redacted if necessary. Because I think we're allowing some staff to make judgments, well, this isn't, this is, yes, it's readily available. It's right here. But it also has a suspect's name in it, or it deals with a personnel matter that you can't just do. But we're telling them, hey, if it's readily available, give it to them. I'm certain that that's why some of these other governments that we're talking about here, namely the city and I don't know anything about the town, but they have decided that they will err on the side of caution, and they use it for tracking. How many of these requests do we get? I just wanted to put that in there as a kind of the other side of things.
Thank you, Brian. Pat, Frank, Carol, Mike, Leslie, and Jim.
I just want to say, first of all, that I support the intent of being able to say publicly that we are trying to be transparent, that we want people to have as easy access as we can make it to documents that should belong to the public. And it's not that concept that I'm concerned about here. I think that as a county, we do that. I'm pretty convinced that that's how we operate. But I would also like to point out that there's a reason why there's two parts to this. There's a part called policy, and there's a part called regulation. This is fairly typical. You enact a policy, then you enact regulations that say how that policy is going to be put into effect. We have heard both our county attorney and Paula Younger is not just our deputy county administrator, she's also our county compliance officer. And we have heard both of those people say to us that it would not be a good thing to put this language in the policy itself. And it's fine for it to go into the regulations, but it should be kept out of the policy. And I have to think that there is a reason why that we want the policy to be in compliance with what the state and the federal government are looking for when they are looking to see that our access to public records policy is in compliance with state and federal policy. It's already there. It's in the regulations. The policy and the regulations themselves are accessible to people. And to move it into the policy, to move that language into the policy, this group would basically be going against the advice of our county attorney and our county compliance officer. And I think I've heard some very good practical reasons around the table here why we should not do that. I think Brian gave some good examples, and other people have also. It doesn't make sense to me that we would even be considering going any further with this discussion.
Well, there is the idea that people have already spoken. I would ask that they really, really think carefully about whether to speak again. This is kind of a binary choice, so I'm going to try to hurry us along a little bit, but I don't think Frank has spoken yet on this. And then there's Carol, Mike, Leslin, Jim, Peter, Pam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the reason that there is a freedom of information process is because it puts a certain amount of responsibility on the person requesting the information. And I think I heard Jonathan mention that there has to be a paper trail and a record in order to do it. Peter did mention that we all get a series of questions. Brian mentioned it also. Nobody is ducking, trying to help a constituent or anyone out with quick information or answering a question. But trying to put a certain amount of responsibility, the staff needs a guidance in order to protect the county. I mean, I understand that the public is entitled to the information, but in order to access the information, I think you need a process that is appropriate. Oral requests, with all due respect to Dooley, oral requests are going to overburden county staff in order to produce information. You guys, not all of you, lived through the solid waste era when we were requested to provide bundles, Kathy, you'll remember it, bundles of information. And if we have to go through that again, some of it was a stalling tactic that was used. That's really unfair to staff to have to react to that, unless there's a FOIL process that they've complied with. And I dare say none of us are avoiding the transparency, but I do think there's a certain amount of responsibility that has to be put on the public, too, not to make frivolous requests of staff. And I would urge voting against this simply because I heard, the reason I asked that question, 40 minutes ago, was this aired by the committee? And I was told, yes, it was. Well, if we're going to stay on this, why don't we refer it back to committee? I know you'll love that one, right, Peter? I would ask that we get on, as Jim said earlier, get on with the vote on this. Let's vote it up or down and move on to something else if it's already been aired at the committee for some time. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Something new, Carol?
Yeah. I have a question for Jonathan. Is it your legal opinion that referring to Section 5A of the regulations, 5A, which simply says, a written request may be required, but oral requests may be accepted when records are readily available, that if that were added under general information at the beginning of the policy there, that that would be legally of impact this policy?
I'm not really sure how to answer that question. I mean, if you're asking, would it make the policy illegal? I think it, you know, I mean, you take that sentence from there and it's in a, you know, from 5A, and it's in a different context than it is if you put it up there in the introduction. So I don't think it would read well or make a lot of sense to me. I can't say it would make it illegal. I'm not really sure how to answer it more than that.
Well, I mean, I get the concept that people don't want to be rewriting or adding different wording than is in the regulations on the floor here. I get that. But I, just taking this one sentence and reiterating it in the policy, just as many of the other sentences from the regulations are in the policy, if it's not going to change the legality of it.
The amendment is for two sentences.
So the question, I would like Dooley's suggestion read back, just to compare it to that. Could you read back what Dooley's, I understand that she wants to break one paragraph into two paragraphs.
That's correct. The legislative policy statement broken into two paragraphs and adding from page 16, section 4 and section 5A to general information under requests for public access to records.
I have a question. Where was that to go, Dooley? I don't remember where. It wasn't clear where you were inserting that.
At the very beginning of what Kathy just said, under requests for public access to records.
So it then goes ahead of a request for access to records may be submitted in writing.
Okay, so now that I've heard it again, and I understand that Dooley is not actually rewriting, but taking from the regulation, I would support that. I really do, Peter, understand the objection to rewriting this on the floor and introducing new wording, but to me, taking the wording from the regulation is not new wording.
Okay, Mike?
I think it would clarify what we're doing.
I support what both Peter and Pat have said with respect to the committee action. My concern with putting anything in here other than what we're required to do under state and federal FOIL requirements is that by talking about things that may be orally acceptable, we may open ourselves up inadvertently to making mistakes, missing something that might be coming through. Someone made a telephone call and said, we didn't respond, therefore we've get into a lawsuit because someone thinks they were entitled to a response and we didn't even know or understand that it was a FOIL response. I can understand why some municipalities require things to be done with written documents. Yes, they probably go too far. But if we don't have that to rely on, to fall back on, I should say, to say that, you know, if this is what something you really want, maybe you ought to put in a FOIL request, which is readily available on the website, then I'm just afraid, you know, emails and other things, we could get tripped up. And we've seen other units of government here have lawsuits because they haven't responded to emails, for example.
All right, Leslin?
Call the question.
Is there a second? Kathy Luce seconds that. All in favor of calling the question on the amendment, please, on the amendment, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes 12 to 3. So we're voting now on the revision to the policy, which would break that paragraph in two on the legislative policy statement and add the two sentences right directly under requests for public access to records. Do you need me to read the sentences? All right. All in favor of that amendment to the policy, please raise your hand. Opposed? That fails 5 to 10, and I will say it's easier to count you now.
It's easier to see us raising our hands.
Easier to see the hands, that's right. 5 to 10, that fails.
Why is it easier to count?
Because you're not, you're separated. Not, okay. Yeah, you're in a different plane of vision. All right, so we have in front of us the main, the policy itself. Dooley?
Yes, I will make a motion to change the title of the policy to make it clear that this only deals with FOIL. So it would be whatever the title of the policy is, Public Access to Records under the Freedom of Information Law.
Is there a second for that? Seconded by Carol.
And that's okay with Jonathan. I had checked that with him.
Okay. Pat?
I would say that it's important that we keep in the fact that we're also adopting the complementary regulations for public access to records of Tompkins County, New York, because we are not simply adopting a policy here. We're also adopting regulations that put that policy into effect. So I don't know why we would take that out.
Don't take it out.
Peter?
Before voting on this, I'd like to hear from Paula.
Paula, the title?
I'm confused. A point of information. Which part of this are you, did you?
The title of the policy. It's not the resolution.
Packet page 11.
Anything. Packet page 11, the title of the policy. Oh, it doesn't take anything out.
Paula?
In terms of just adding reference to the Freedom of Information Law to the title, is that?
Right. Does this, is there anything that's, are records that isn't under FOIL or that isn't included in here? Does this leave anything out?
It's difficult for me to give a response based on my understanding of FOIL. And I expressed it earlier on in terms of FOIL is based on the presumption that there is access. So that's what this policy is about, public access to records. And we say it very clearly in the objective, and we also reference the Freedom of Information Law. I guess I'm just confused by wanting to add the wording, it just because, I don't know, it is what it is. I just also want to keep in mind, too, we are dealing with an internal administrative policy. Remember, once again, wanting to make sure that our staff have the most prudent guidance that they need. Many of you have talked here tonight about so that they don't make mistakes. So keep in mind this is an internal administrative policy and that the purpose for the complementary guidelines was to make sure that not only staff but the general public are also clear about what their rights to know are.
Okay, we've got Mike, Frank, and Jim.
I think at committee we discussed this issue, and the reason we didn't want to change it was because the language of the title is what's used in the regulation.
Yes. Frank?
I'm satisfied with what Mike just said because I think what I heard Paula say is that this goes beyond just FOIL. It's public access to county records, including the FOIL process. So leave well enough alone.
Jim?
I will pay.
Okay. You ready to vote? Dooley.
What is missing from the public access to records document now is making clear what our organizational culture has been and hopefully will continue to be. And that's why when I suggested to Jonathan that when I mention it at committee, let's make the title clear that this is all about FOIL. I think that's why Jonathan had no trouble with that change to the policy title. That's. Jonathan, would you care to confirm what I just said? I don't want to put words in
your mouth. When it was discussed at committee, there was the suggestion, which the committee talked about, is whether to have a FOIL policy and then whether there should be a separate policy that goes somewhat beyond FOIL. And given that, And I said, well, yeah, we can do that. We can call this the FOIL policy, though I wasn't recommending another policy. If people wanted to do more, that was fine. I mean, this implements, well, I should add that the public access to records, that isn't changed. That's been the name of this amendment to the policy, but that's been the name of the policy for a long time. So that wasn't changed at all. It is, in fact, our FOIL implementation policy, which the law requires. So I don't see any particular advantage to saying under FOIL, but I also didn't see any particular harm in it either. I mean, you know, one could say, given that it has some statements of principle, that it goes somewhat beyond FOIL, but in terms of the actual process, it doesn't. So it's something I don't oppose or support. I'm not sure what to say.
Pat?
Just as a matter of information, I point out that we passed a resolution that would then not be the same. And we'd probably have to go back and redo the resolution.
That would be fun. Okay. I think these chairs are too comfortable, guys. Are ready to vote on this change. All in favor of the change to the title of the policy, please raise your hand. Opposed? Well, that fails 2 to 14. 2 to 12.
2 to 12. 12. 12.
Thank you. I knew that. Okay.
Easy to count, isn't it?
Well, I know, but yeah, I didn't have dinner, so then we still have the main original policy on the agenda here. Peter?
I call a question.
Seconded by Brian. All in favor of calling the question? Opposed? That's fail. That passes 12 to 2. All right. We are ready to vote on the policy, which has not been amended. Came out of committee. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes 13 to 1, and I think the GO committee gets a gold medal. All right. Thank you, Pat. Is there anything else on your report?
Might I just say thank you very much to Andrea Gibbs because she did the initial research to get the wording on paper for Jonathan and I to then call through.
Well, that's great. Thank you for pointing that out. And thank you very much, Andrea, and thank you very much, Paula and Jonathan, for making this work. Really appreciate it. Pat, anything else in your report?
I will just say that the GO committee will meet on August 27th at 10 o'clock.
All right. Thank you. Broadband committee. Pat, back to you.
Oh, okay. The broadband committee, yes. Broadband committee met on Monday, July 22nd. Chuck Bartosz was present this month to just give us an update on how things are coming from his end of things. At the time of that meeting, he was preparing to put in the order for the poles that will be needed. And since the meeting, that order has gone in. And those were the main things that we talked about at the meeting. There is not going to be any broadband committee meeting in August. That meeting has been canceled. We will plan to meet on a regular day in September, but in the meantime, I will be meeting with Susan Curry and any other interested members of the committee or public who would like to work on the education and outreach activities that we're developing to go along with the build-out and implementation of the project.
Thank you very much, Pat. Could you tell us, since the order of the polls was an issue, Caroline didn't, there wasn't funding for all of them. Can you tell us which municipalities participated and supported Caroline in that?
Let me think. Town of Lansing, Town of Danby, and Caroline has committed to making up whatever difference can't be raised from other funds. There are also a number of individuals who have made private commitments to this project, and I'm not sure exactly where we stand right now because we have a committee working on this, but it's in the neighborhood of 25,000 to 30,000 that has been committed.
That's great. What, in the Village of Cayuga Heights also?
Oh, I'm very sorry. Yes, the Village of Cayuga Heights. In fact, I apologize because they were the first ones to step up, and we greatly appreciate it.
All right. That's great. Good to know. Thank you very much. Frank, did you want to, that was what you wanted to say?
That was it.
All right. Thank you. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis, Chair.
Thank you very much. Item is Resolution F. It's a budget adjustment and appropriation of unspent funds from 2012 and prior years to various accounts of the department that reports to the Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee. And I would move that.
Moved by Jim, seconded by Leslin. Discussion? There's a short-form roll call.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Anyone who wishes to be recorded as no? That's unanimous.
We have a scheduled meeting for August 26th, and I will be talking to Ms. Covert about the date of that meeting. I am not going to be in town, so either the vice chair will run the meeting or we can move it to some other time. But I will be talking to Kathy about it. That concludes my meeting.
Jim, I wanted to ask about scheduling our expanded budget committee meetings.
Yes.
Is there going to be a meeting?
A plan for that?
That? Yeah.
Yes, there is. And Kevin, I have talked to Kevin, and Kevin is in the process, along with K2 and Joe, of setting up the times, I believe. And you can say no if you want to, Kevin, about when department heads will be appearing before the legislature. And at that time, once we know when that's scheduled, then we will put out our schedule.
What?
Our schedule of meetings.
Okay, we usually get some options floated and we try to get legislators.
Well, we will certainly give you some options, but we don't usually give them to you in the first week in August. Okay?
Okay.
They have to, first of all, go through the budget process with the people that, the department, and then at that point, we can schedule when the meetings will be held. And we will do that. We have done that very well in the last 3 years. We will continue to do that.
Okay. Carolyn,
no,
Will?
No, I don't have any date.
Okay. Carolyn, Will?
Can you give us a first week that we might anticipate?
Well, we don't get the budget. We get the budget at the second meeting in September. So if you want to look at your calendars and figure out what the next week is, you might choose that week as when the first meeting is.
Thank you.
Will?
And Jim, you've been through this a few times before. Do you anticipate any major changes in process at this point, or is it going to be pretty much as it has been in the past?
Well, I think, it would probably remain as it has been. We would certainly look to see what kinds of requests we got, what the OTRs are, where that all is going, and then we can make some determinations. But if I had to swear to it today, I would say it's virtually the same as you've done in the past.
Kathy Luce?
Jim, I thought you promised I could run all the meetings and we'd have it done in 2 weeks.
Okay.
It must have been
That's still open.
Okay, great.
All right. Anything else for Jim? Thank you very much.
Thank you. That concludes the report.
And I think you look... I like the jacket, but that looks good, too. And, I mean, thank you for classing it up.
Next month, I'm back to jeans and a sport coat.
Oh, well, okay. Public Safety Committee, Brian Robison, Chair.
Thank you. last week, actually, I finally got a chance to go over and clean out my desk for coming over here, and I left everything there except for one thing. I did bring this, and David, this is, I will keep this on my desk because I know that you were a big part of it. I've been playing golf for 35 years, This is absolutely the smallest trophy I've ever gotten. but I am going to keep it in memory of you. And thank you. We have not met since the last meeting. However, let me bring you up to date on a couple of things. We continue to negotiate with the Sheriff's Patrol Unit. We are ever hopeful that we will get a negotiated contract. That's always been our goal. I can tell you that since we last met with them, I've become aware of at least two labor contracts regionally that have been settled by negotiations, so we do have those types of figures, and we'll certainly keep you abreast of all that. Also, in the meantime, with regards to the communications center manager position, this has been going for 9 months, I'm going to say. The committee, which was made up of mainly consumers from law enforcement, fire, EMS, Peter was good enough to be part of that, seeing as he was there from the onset. They culminated with four finalists for that position. Three were interviewed, and because the position is felt to be very important at this stage and vital to the operations, the consensus of that committee was not to settle on any of those applicants, and we are in the process of weighing our options as to how we want to proceed from here. A number of different things, not the least of which would be a whole new search. But keeping in what our county unwritten policy is of not settling, that's kind of where we're at. And Joe, if you got any more to add?
No, I think it's very well put.
And before I forget, our next meeting is next Monday at 3:30. And one of the things we will be considering is a resolution on the new addition to the jail with the additional seven beds and the whole rec conversion and that sort of stuff. So if you're interested in that, please attend. And I have two resolutions, if there are no questions. Resolution G, ID 4270, budget adjustment and appropriation of unspent funds from 2012 and prior years to various accounts by the departments that report to the Public Safety Committee, and I would move that.
Moved and seconded by Pat. Discussion. Frank and Dooley.
Brian, under the sheriff's, the list for the sheriff's department, on the flip side, replacement vehicle for the jail, is that a van?
I believe it is, yes. Transport van?
Will these be made available to other departments, or is it pretty well shot?
The new one or the old one?
The new one would be wonderful.
No.
But the old one, how about the old one?
I don't know.
We would have to look. I know what you're talking about. We would have to look at the condition of that van.
Okay. Dooley?
Were there any requests that got turned down?
Not that I'm aware of.
No.
Frank?
Brian, just out of curiosity, under assigned counsel, it replaced broken chair. How many chairs are involved?
$500, that's like a half of one.
No. So no. Considering the discussion we've had on chairs.
Yes, I know what you're alluding to, and I will.
That's just teasing.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know.
Are we ready to vote?
Those folding chairs.
Okay. I mean, all right. Ready to vote on G. Short roll call.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Anyone wish to be recorded as no? That's unanimous. H?
Yep. One more resolution. Resolution H, ID 4267, appropriation from contingent fund terminal pay reimbursement, Department of Probation and Community Justice, and I would move that.
Second by Leslin. Discussion? Short form roll call.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Anyone wish to be recorded as no? That's unanimous. Okay. Thank you very much, Brian.
Yep.
Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslin McBean Clairborn, Chair.
We met. I don't remember what happened. We met on the 24th of July. We spent most of our time, and the other committee members can chime in, talking about the diversity policy, which has gone around the Mulberry Bush and several times, and we're continuing to adjust and work on that. We also, as a committee, we were lacking a quorum, let me start with that. Also had a discussion about support of the two-row WAMPUM. WAMP, never say the word right. Out of which there's a member file resolution because I didn't have the resolution at the committee meeting. We are again going to be, we have some more, the results of the impact review of the policy, the diversity policy by staff and some legislators, and we will be looking at that hopefully in its final version before it comes to you. We're a little disappointed because we were really hoping for it to be ready to come to this meeting where we understand that we wanted to give staff that time to be able to really weigh in, since our entire workforce had the opportunity to weigh in on our climate survey and not just our department heads. So it was very important that all staff had a chance to weigh in and for us to take those comments seriously. So that is what we are continuing to work on so that we can get this baby put to rest here. We will meet again on the 28th or 27th of August. I don't remember what date it is. Whatever that Wednesday is of August 28th.
Thank you, Leslin. Any questions? So, but the policy would come through GO or budget or both?
So go to budget and GO.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you very much. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The Health Committee's official meeting will be August 13th at our usual time, but let me give you a couple of items. You know that we have been inundated with reports of Lyme disease. There's a lot of activity with regard to that. It's nothing to be taken lightly, and the Health Department is pretty actively engaged in dispensing information to the public. Going back to a comment Peter made, if you have any constituents that are interested in information, please contact the Health Department. There's information that they would, and you don't need a FOIL request to get it. There's a lot of information they can dispense. The second item is rabies. You probably picked up on the fox that was running around Trumansburg. They did get it, but that's another item to stay tuned on with the weather the way it's been. I want to bring to your attention an item that you've all been invited to a meeting on the 27th, August 27th, at 11 o'clock at the Rice Conference Room to review the proposed strategic plan for health in the county. Frank Krupa sent you all an email regarding that. Please, if you haven't had a chance to respond, we need to get some sort of a head count But it is the 27th at 11 o'clock up at Rice. An item that has been on the agenda for some time, at least privately, is gluten. And I wanted to make you aware that one of the items that I'd like to talk about in the strategic plan is the new regulation that the FDA came out with a week or so ago, finally setting parameters on what does gluten, what is gluten, and what can a gluten-free package, what must the gluten-free package or label comply with in order to say that it's gluten-free. The reason I want to mention it is we have a very aware community on gluten, and the restaurants have taken it pretty seriously. I'd like to get something in the strategic plan with regard to it. And if you haven't seen it in the Ithaca College alumni news that just came out, there's a woman by the name of Susanna Faulkner who, through her college career, has taken on the gluten issue and now has been hired by two outfits to be the marketing manager for gluten-free food and right here in the community. So it's really on the forefront, and there are a lot of people who are have celiac, and it can lead to much more serious health problems, infertility, miscarriages, growth retardation, osteoporosis. There's a whole list of them. So I wanted to bring it to your attention that I'm going to try to highlight that in the strategic plan. As I said, the next meeting is the 13th. If there are any questions, I have two resolutions. If there's any questions, I'll try to...
Any questions? Pat? Oh.
Frank, I just wanted to point out that that event at the Health Department on the strategic plan conflicts with the next GO meeting. So there are five of us here that would automatically have a problem with that.
What time is your meeting, Pat?
From 10 till noon.
Will, is that the same day? I know the Health Department moved the Board of Health meeting.
Yes, that's why I need it.
Well, let me get a hold of Frank Krupa. Maybe we can move that to a different date, because it's important that as many people around this table or would vote, whatever galley, whatever we're calling this. I'll get a hold of Frank, and we'll see if we can get the meeting date changed. Would an earlier meeting accommodate your schedule?
Well, we start at 10, and because of the expected length of our agenda for this month, we've already agreed to go till 12:30.
Okay, so that morning is probably
it's
out.
Pretty, yeah.
Will?
Frank?
Yeah.
And we can talk about this, but I don't know if Frank Grippo was trying to involve members of the Board of Health, but I think that's maybe why he did the meeting adjacent. It's possible that the time could be shifted to after that meeting, but we should ask.
How long do the Board of Health meetings go?
They vary. 2 o'clock? Typically an hour and a half, maybe. What do you think, John?
Yeah, about that.
Okay. I'll get a hold of Frank. Maybe we can do it in the afternoon on that same day. Thanks, Will.
All right. Let the record show that despite occasional desires to do so, I am not cutting Frank's microphone out from up here. You've got some resolution.
You know, retribution is never mind. Okay, resolution I. It's DOC ID 4271, budget adjustment and appropriation of unspent funds from 2012 and prior years to various accounts of the department that reports to the Health and Human Services Committee. I'll move it and tell you very quickly what it is.
Second by Leslin.
If you look in the body at the bottom of the resolution where the box is, it says Cerner Maintenance Agreement. Cerner is the outfit that maintains the Health Department, part of the Health Department files. And they never bill them for work that they're just catching up on the billing. The health department needs the money to just pay them, but they've been a little remiss in billing the health department. So basically, this is a cleanup bill.
Okay, are we ready to vote? Short form roll call.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Anyone who wishes to be recorded as no? That's unanimous.
Resolution J, DOC ID 4269, appropriation from contingent fund, terminal pay reimbursement, health department. And I'll move that.
Seconded by Kathy Luce. Dooley?
I wanted to ask Frank about the resolution that we just passed. Were there any requests that were turned down?
You mean
rollover request?
The rollover? Not that I'm aware of. The only request that I think the committee dealt with, because it was the only one they brought forward, was the Cerner request.
Since we didn't, those of us who weren't on the committees didn't get any backup information, that's why I'm asking that question.
No problem.
All right, Resolution J. Discussion? Short form roll call.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yep.
Anyone who wishes to be recorded as no? That's unanimous. Thank you, Frank. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Peter Stein, Chair.
Yeah, our next meeting is on, I had this memorized, but it's gone, on the 19th at the usual time at 10:30 in the morning. What's the report? I guess the big news is that the Henshaw Road will, in fact, have a new surface. And that is started, and it's one-way traffic, and we saw a bunch of hysterical emails that said there were cars going both directions, but I think that problem, I'm told that problem has been taken care of. It's a great pleasure to see that road being built. That's so big that it overrides everything else on that committee. Anyway, I have a resolution, K, ID 4284, budget adjustment and appropriation of unspent funds from 2012 and prior years to various accounts of the departments that report to the F&I committee. And I'll move that.
Seconded by Dave. Discussion. I'll ask, were there any requests turned down?
As I know, no.
Okay. Discussion. All right. A short form roll call.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Anyone wish to be recorded as no? That's unanimous.
Just as a point of information, it's great that somebody's starting to keep track of if there were any requests turned down, but it's pretty clear to me that a lot of times department heads don't bring forward requests that they're not pretty sure are going to be passed. So I just, you know, want to say that we take that statistic in the context that we're in.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that question. It's really hard to know what it means to say that none are turned down. It may mean that they're not looked at very carefully. It may mean that they are very carefully prepared. So I don't think it really means that.
No, that's right. And for the public, this is the process we go through every summer. It's the rollover, expenditure of rollover funds and that are reviewed by each committee and then by us. And it's pretty unusual, I don't know about totally unique, but unusual way of budgeting that allows department heads to hold over funds to a subsequent year if they haven't spent their whole budget. So you don't end up with a December 31st, you know, hurry up and spend it, use it or lose it. So we review these the next year. And, Joe, I think you pretty much go through them with department heads before they come to committees, right?
We do, and I think if you look at them, they're now restricted to one-time-only kinds of things. We don't allow people to get used to having this to support recurring expenditures. So I think that rule has been understood and accepted by the departments.
And now I will say that when I came on the legislature almost 12 years ago, we used to have equipment lines in budgets. And that's pretty much mostly, you know, like for computers, et cetera. We're just in ongoing budget lines. That's mostly gone away, and rollover instead is the way that those expenditures are taken care of.
And the rollover amounts aren't nearly as much as they used to be either, because we no longer allow personnel-related savings to be put into a rollover account. The county takes those savings back, and it goes into fund balance.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Kathy Lewson and Peter?
Just as a remark, it might be that if there's going to be questions about how many rollover requests are denied, that department heads might find it necessary to generate more rollover requests to prove how much their need is. So I'd be careful about making an assumption about that, the answer to that question. And as Peter pointed out, we can't really tell what the result of the question comes from. So I just, because I bet I'm going to hear that question a lot, and the conclusion that people might get from it, I think, should be taken with several grains of salt.
Peter?
I just want to report that with my Scrooge hat on, I did ask how come Weights and Measures needed a smartphone, and I got a perfectly acceptable and intelligent answer to that question.
Excellent. All right. Thank you very much, Peter. Economic Development Committee, Will Burbank, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. The committee has not met since our last meeting, but we'll be meeting right before our next meeting in the legislature. And basically, at this point, we have one item on the agenda, which is the proposed budget for this for the Strategic Tourism Planning Board. And I am a little unsure about the exact time. I think it's going to be 4:30 at probably the old jail, but look for confirmation on that. And I, my understanding is that that Frank, you can't come to the meeting because you have a conflict. But I heard that everybody else can. If perchance you can't come, let me know right away because we want to make sure we have a quorum. I did want to make you aware that I was asked to serve on the search committee to make a recommendation for the new director of the Convention and Visitor Bureau. As you're probably aware, Fred Bond left that position to take over as regional director for state parks. And so I was asked, but because they thought he didn't have enough to do during the month of August, they also asked Joe, and we've both been participating in that process and got an enormous number of interesting candidates. So that concludes my report. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Will. Any questions?
I would make one last observation. Because of the lateness of the hour, I was looking at our clock, and I suddenly realized that I was having a hard time reading it, and it was Roman numerals, which I haven't seen on a clock since I was in grade school, I think. So,
you've got them on your watch, Mike?
Absolutely.
definitely old school there, but anyway.
All right, I guess 1856. I don't know if that's the original clock. All right, thank you very much. Capital Plan Review Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
Yes, we did meet and pass the resolution that was that I did withdraw. The reason was because even though it's gone through three committees, I know there are some folks that haven't been fully briefed on this. And just for my edification, if you haven't seen one of the presentations, could you just raise your hand so I could know? So Leslin and Will and Pat, anybody else? Jim.
Dave.
So we're going to try to get you folks all some additional information. We want you up to speed with the rest of us because this is a $1.55 million project, and it's important for a lot of the goals that we have, including removing the day reporting system from program from the old library. But it's an expenditure, and we all need to have all of our questions answered about it before we vote. That's pretty much it. We're down in the Capital Plan Review Committee after this to continuing to work on where we should be going with the old library, waiting for the appraisal to come in on that. And then hopefully we're going to be pretty much done with that special committee.
Yes, it's possible. Frank.
Mike, two questions. First, the presentation that you're talking about for the to address this resolution? Was there something beyond what we had at the capital programs meeting?
Joe, I think what you're planning to do is get out the PowerPoints to them.
That's right. It's what you saw, a capital plan. So we'll show the layout of the space and who goes where.
The other one is, since this has already been through three committees, the next time we see this resolution, could you have included on the back of it what the vote was by committee?
Certainly, Kathy, could that be done?
Okay, thank you. Jim?
I just want to know how much the chairs cost.
We haven't got that.
That's my major concern.
I think that's my report.
All right. No other questions for Mike? All right. Thank you very much. Then I get a motion on the – no, we have Resolution M. Leslin.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much, and thank you all for adding this to the agenda. Resolution M, ID number 4309. Resolution in support of the two-row wampum renewal campaign. And I so move.
Thank you. Seconded by Leslin, Kathy Luce. Leslin, do you want to introduce it first, then go to Mike?
I just want to say quickly that this is not a $1.5 million resolution by any means. It is more a $5 million. It is just a resolution supporting our Native American population and their journey of the in honor of the two-row wampum treaty. A lot of what's here, and I do appreciate do these changes to the resolution as well. A lot of what's here is just general, but basic information about supporting humanity and human cooperation. There's nothing in here about wanting to us supporting anyone, giving back anything. And the other part about it, about this particular journey, is about protecting our land and Mother Earth. And there's much in this resolution that speaks to that. I appreciate Audrey bringing the information in this pamphlet to all of us today. And if people are interested in more information, they can visit the website. This is a journey that began on July 27th, just outside of Albany. And Native Americans, indigenous peoples, and allies are rowing down the Hudson all the way to New York City. It will end or arrive in New York City on August 9th. It's well timed. There's many events and stops along the way. And on the 9th, they will gather and march to the United Nations to participate in the International Indigenous Peoples honoring that is a day of honor at the United Nations. So this resolution is just brought to support that. I will, if we pass this tonight, I will be sure to deliver it to Ms. Audrey at the Multicultural Resource Center as a conduit to get it to members of the Onondaga Nation and other members of our indigenous peoples so that they know that Tompkins County respect, honor, and want to support them as they journey on this. The City of Ithaca passed a very similar resolution. This one is almost the same thing that was passed by the city, and I thought it was only fitting that as a county body, all of us sitting on Native lands, that we could support our indigenous peoples this way.
Thank you, Leslin. I've got Mike, then Carol, then Kathy.
I'm going to move to refer this to committee, and if I get a second, I'll explain why.
Seconded by Frank.
This is a very nice resolution. It talks about some wonderful things about the tribes Native Americans. But what I'm having some problem with this resolution, is the language it has. And when I got this brochure today, and I found even more troubling language in it, has to do with title to and sovereignty over lands. It doesn't say what lands. Dryden, east part of Dryden, east part of Groton, the east part of Caroline, and on a line that goes all the way to Lake Ontario and south to the Pennsylvania border, and then goes easterly, is still under the Onondaga Nation land claim litigation. And the land claims, after Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg wrote the opinion in the Oneida II Supreme Court case, have basically failed for the Cougars and the Oneidas, and they've failed in the two lower courts for the Onondagas. To the extent that this is trying to build support for giving Native Americans sovereignty over land that's owned by my constituents, I have a problem with it. As far as it being a nice celebration of an historical event, a treaty with the Dutch before the English were here, before America was America, I think it's nice. But this language is troubling to me, and I'd really like to have it go back to a committee for discussion.
Again, all right, Lesson.
Mike, may I ask what language is troubling to you specifically in this resolution?
There's a in the resolution itself, and then I can quote it. You're quoted out of this book. It's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th whereas. It refers to a United Nations General Assembly declaration, and the end of that, most of it's very nice, and I would certainly agree with that. But it ends, and especially their rights to their lands, territories, and resources. And my question is, what does that mean in this context? Are they talking about the lands they, for example, that they have in the Onondaga Indian Nation, those lands? Are we talking about claim lands? Are we talking about lands that might be taken into trust by the Department of Interior, as, for example, the Oneidas are looking at? I don't know what it means. In the brochure here, it says, we hope to polish the centuries-old covenant chain of friendship between our peoples and draw more people into the work of extending indigenous sovereignty over their lands, protecting our shared environmental inheritance, and building support for a just resolution of the several Haudenosaunee land rights actions. Again, I don't know what that means. It's troubling to me.
The language you just read is not in my resolution.
No, I know, but it's in this brochure that was handed out to us tonight.
The language on the United States General Assembly that was adopted in September 2006, and whereas that you read, is not anything that I made up or anything that the Native American population brought us. This is the United Nations General Assembly adopted language that is quoted in here.
Well, I understand that.
I'm not sure what the issue with it will be, if that's their language on something that was adopted.
Okay, we got Carol, then Kathy, then Peter.
Yeah, well, first I wanted to thank Leslyn for bringing this forward. I really appreciate that you have. It is so impressive to think of a people here in the United States, going back 400 years. That's a very long time. And I don't think there's any doubt, that any of us have any doubt, that to the extent, for those of us who have European ancestors, you know, our ancestors made treaties and broke those treaties with Native peoples. Going back to those 400 years. And I don't see this campaign. I have been following this campaign and the canoe ride and other activities that they are conducting throughout the state, which I don't hear as demanding land back in any way. I have been very impressed that what they are using this 400-year
with the Hadanasani, am I got that right? Are doing is using this 400-year anniversary as an opportunity to talk about some of their values that go way, way back that really value environmental stewardship. And for me, that's something that this legislature has weighed in on. And so I would be happy to have us pass this. I don't know that we need to take up committee time with it. I'd be happy to pass it tonight. If there's particular problem, that one, the sixth whereas there, Mike, that refers to the United Nations General Assembly Declaration, it's not asking us to make a declaration of returnal of lands. But I would be happy to just end it after the word philosophies and take out especially their rights to their lands, territory, and resources, if that would get us to some more unanimity tonight without taking up committee time. So if maybe I'll leave it up to somebody else to when I hear where the discussion is going, but that's something that we could just take out that one clause and maybe get to agreement.
All right, let's see where we go. We got Kathy, Peter, Leslin, and Pat.
Thank you. Leslin, no disrespect intended, but as a canoeist, I just want to let you know, you don't row a canoe, you paddle it. just got to say.
I grew up paddling all my life, yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm supporting this, and I'll tell you why, just briefly. The brochure was informative. For me, highlighted and summarized the things that are the 5 points at the end of the resolution, and it talks about keeping hydrofracking out of New York State, supporting the two-row Wampum renewal campaign to honor native treaties and protect the earth. They even say in the booklet and I think in the resolution that the core component of this is environmentalism and respect for the earth, which I'm glad you pronounced it because I think I got it. Would have been saying it wrong. Wadasani?
Hadanasani.
What they said, and I'll try it. I'll try and I'll get better. But what that people was all about and that we can all learn from, but particularly the environmental perspective from those of us that are keenly aware of and concerned about the results of hydrofracking around us and that we're trying to keep it out of New York State. So for me, I'm for this. I know we could spend a lot of time on it, but look, the paddling, the canoe thing is almost over. It'll be over on the 9th, I guess.
Exactly.
So, you know, I don't think it's going to allow any bad thing to happen if we support this. And I know that some folks have to be vigilant and want to read into this. And from them, you know, I have all respect for their opinion. But for me, I think this is a cultural thing, and I'd really like to show support for it, and I'm going to be voting for it.
Peter, Leslin, Pat, and Jim.
I believe that we should never bring a resolution except in some extraordinary circumstance that we ought to bring a resolution to the floor that hasn't gone through a committee. I think that's a good way to carry out our business, and it's just too many people to debate these things. I think a hearing by a committee is an important part of our process. It doesn't say anything against the resolution, it's just about the process.
Well, I am glad that we actually have the process that occasionally we can bring something on the floor as a member file resolution that's not doing any harm to us, it's not causing us $1.5 million or anything. I hear you, Peter. And when we're at that point where there are things that are that really are going to cost us or something like that, my expectation is that we will have a chance to talk about it through committee. Kathy's right. This ends on Friday. Okay? Going back to committee would make no sense at this point to support this because it is happening now. And so we wanted to get something in and let our indigenous friends know that Tompkins County supports their efforts and supports their the culture of what they are trying to educate all of us about. That's all it is.
Liz, I got Pat and then Jim.
In light of the fact that there is a time limitless factor here, Normally, I would prefer to see resolutions go through committee also. I think that's the process we should use as much as possible. But we have in the past at times brought resolutions that didn't go through the committee, so it's not like this is the first time it's happened, especially when there is an issue of timeliness, as there does seem to be tonight. And I think it's really unfortunate that in a proposed resolution with such a lot of really positive, uplifting statements, that there is this one whereas, this six whereas, that, you know, we can say we can just, you know, it's so good that we can just ignore that statement. But as a matter of fact, this would impact people here in Tompkins County. If we're taking a position in favor of one side over another side in a federal case, which we would be doing if we pass this as written, then, and by taking that side, we would be potentially harming residents of Tompkins County. I think that's serious, and I think it's something we need to address. My suggestion would be, if it's the will of the legislature that we pass this tonight, and I would like to see us be able to do that, is that Carol's suggested change would not go far enough just by taking out that last phrase, because the beginning of that whereas refers to the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. So even if we took out the last phrase, by implication, that would still be part of it. I would suggest that we pass it without the sixth whereas and just take that out. So if the amendment that Mike has suggested does not pass, I would be prepared to make a resolution, to put forward a resolution that would adopt this tonight without the sixth whereas.
Okay. Is that a motion?
Well, there's
point of order. I'm not sure that motion is in order. Is that?
No, I'm not making. I said if his motion is not accepted, I would be prepared to, because I understand if his motion is already on the floor.
Jonathan?
Yeah, I just said the fifth resolve relates to the sixth whereas. So if you eliminate the sixth whereas, you have to eliminate the fifth resolve.
Okay. All right. We have the motion on the floor.
Point of information.
Yes, Mike.
Pat, would your if you were to propose that, would you also eliminate the fifth item in the resolve?
I would do that. Yes,
because
I
if that were the case, and that could go forward, then I would be willing to withdraw my motion to refer it to committee.
Okay.
If there was support for that.
Is that a motion, Pat?
Then I will offer a substitute motion for Mike's motion that would adopt this resolution without the sixth whereas and without number five on the second page.
Okay, is there a second to that? Second by Mike. Everybody understand that? So Mike's resolution to, amendment, motion to go to committee is withdrawn. I have Jim, Will, Frank, and Dooley. Okay?
I will pass, Martha, until we vote on the new resolution.
Okay. Will.
So I've been trying to follow this. And first, thanks, Leslin, for bringing this forward. Thanks, Mike, for reminding us that there are very real implications for residents of our county. Land is the essence of what has happened, I think, in a really destructive way to the Native peoples, but it's not a simple issue, and it, you know, if we are going to address it, I think it is appropriate that we send it back to committee. Taking it out of here, I think, guts a very important thing, because it's a very, very critical thing. But I think we can't just assume there's no implications. So I will vote for removal. But with some hesitation, because I realize the land is really a critical fact to their experience.
Okay, I've got
information.
Frank, Dooley, Leslin, Carol.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Pat, I just want to make sure I understand. Your motion to substitute pulls out the entire sixth whereas?
Correct.
The whole thing.
And also number five on the second page.
On the second page.
Because it's related to it.
Okay. The question that the other question I have is, the second whereas indicates that this is a 1 year, and it goes on, this is a 1 year celebration, which is the whole year 2013. Is the urgency precipitated by the third whereas, Leslin, the August 9th date of the United Nations International Day? Is that
yes,
why?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Because that is the two row.
Okay. Third item, just point of information. At TCAT, and Peter and Pam will probably remember this, we had a presentation by a young man who wanted permission to paint the scene at the bus stop on Seneca
right.
Street, and I've never seen anything done so fast. But anyway, if you haven't seen it, you ought to take a walk by there. But you have to cross the street to get the full impact. And that's really pretty nice.
It's very beautiful.
Okay. Thanks, Martha.
It's really late. I've got Dooley, Leslin, Carol, and then I'm going to put myself in.
Thank you. I oppose taking out the sixth whereas. It's factual. And it's foolish to take it out because the trip down the Hudson is to end up at the United Nations. I would support, however, taking out number five on page two, which I think gets to the heart of Mike's concern. So I will not support your motion as it is presently. And I will... Would this be another amendment, Jonathan? This would be the second amendment, if I make one, which is to include the six whereas, but drop number five on page two. I've lost count.
I wasn't sure whether Peter was agreeing to withdraw his amendment and allow the substitution.
No, I was just asking you a question about Robert's rules.
But before that, I wasn't sure when.
Can't hear you, Jonathan.
Oh, I was saying I wasn't sure whether Peter was agreeing to withdraw his motion.
It was my motion.
I didn't make any motion.
Mike's motion to refer to committee.
I'm sorry. It was Mike's motion to refer to committee.
So I think this
would
be.
And I thought Mike was agreeing to.
I would agree to withdraw
right.
that.
Oh, all right.
In favor
right.
of
so
Pat
because he
amendment.
Was agreeing to withdraw it, there is not that prior resolution, which answers both your question and Dooley's question.
So that I make that motion to amend Pat's motion to restore the sixth whereas, but to drop number five on page two.
All right. Is there a second for that? Pat? No, is there a second for that? Do I have to step down to second that?
Oh, you were asking for a second? I thought Pat did.
No?
Then I'm seconding that.
Okay, second by Leslin. Okay, so now the question is, and I'll keep the same list because it's the same idea here, but we're leaving.
I'm sorry.
The motion is to leave the sixth.
Can you repeat what was just moved and seconded?
To leave the sixth whereas in, because it only describes that the UN adopted this declaration, but remove number five on the last on the second page.
And the resolve.
Yep. So I've got Leslin, Carol, and Frank.
I was going to say exactly what Dooley said.
Carol?
So I was going to ask if anybody could tell me a little bit more about what the UN, the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples says. I've looked it up here, the Reader's Digest version, and it was passed by the General Assembly. It's not a legally binding instrument under international law. It does represent the dynamic development of international legal norms. It sets out the individual and collective rights of indigenous peoples, as well as their rights to culture, identity, language, employment, health, education, and other issues, and emphasizes the rights of indigenous peoples to maintain and strengthen their own institutions, cultures, and traditions, and to pursue their development in keeping with their own needs and aspirations.
Okay.
Prohibits discrimination. So the point to me is that it's my understanding that the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples is not something that holds nations, member nations, to follow it. It's a guideline and a recommendation, and that would be a big difference, because we would not be saying there's some law out there that supersedes, you know, rights of our landowners in Tompkins County. And that's my understanding, and I wanted to know if anybody else
my understanding
could corroborate
as well.
That. That's why I looked it up. And so I do get not, you know, emphasizing and having wording in here that points out or could be misinterpreted in any way that the Tompkins County Legislature is turning over rights to lands, territories, and resources.
All right. All
so
this says is this resolution exists.
Can I amend the amendment?
No. We have two on the floor.
Okay. Because I would be happy to keep in all the rest of it, but I'm not happy with the words, especially their rights to their lands, territories, and
but
resources.
As somebody already pointed out, that is language from the declaration that's been passed. All right, Frank, then myself, then Mike.
Thank you, Martha. If we put the six whereas back in, or leave it stand as is, does that include the language that Mike brought to our attention originally, the last part? Essentially their rights to their lands, territories, and resources.
I'm just going to answer this.
Well,
I'm
not done yet, but go ahead.
If you read the whereas, it simply says the UN General Assembly adopted such and such a declaration, which says, and it excerpts. It doesn't later say anything else about that. That's just a piece of information. If 5 existed without the 6 whereas, that would be odd. So since 5, but since we're the proposal here is to take 5 out, then the 6 whereas is simply information. I'm talking about taking, so the resolution, the amendment is to take the last line of the resolution out. Number 5 on the second page. You know, since that is, this was written with that there, you needed the 6 whereas to explain it. Well, but the opposite is not true.
Martha, I respectfully think this whole board is supportive of the effort. I can't imagine any of us not supporting the effort that is going on, because I think we're in favor of it. The concern is the law of unintended consequences. I mean, we simply don't know enough about what that implies. I know what I read in the paper. The last 2 or 3 months, there's been a periodic article in there. I was going to ask a question about number 2. What does it, I mean, is... Do we take that at face value to keep hydrofracking out of New York State? I mean, that's really in the governor's lap right now. But is that as far as that statement goes? I think this county, certainly this legislature, has expressed an opinion on that, even though it's been taken out of our hands because of the legal cases that have been decided. I'm still, Mike... Or, I'm sorry, Leslin, I know that the August 9th date is the concern. It would be neat if we could just pass something that was pretty general without having all these specifics in here. But I represent a town and a half that could be affected by those land rights. And I'm a little concerned about what Mike is concerned about. Anyway, is there any
Leslin, is there? Do you have a? If the six whereas comes out as well as number five, do you have a problem with that, or is that will that work?
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. Like Rudy said, this is just factual information. It's there. And you know what, we may have our opinions, you know, one way or another on what's going on, but the reality is that our Native American and Indigenous peoples have had treaties in place. There have been treaties that have been violated. There's been a whole lot of stuff. This is not about any of that. This is just about supporting these folks and allies as they celebrate these treaties that have been in place and ask for them to be honored.
Okay, I know this is out of order, but it's late. Leslin, if that last clause came out of the six whereas, especially their rights to their lands, territories, and resources, but the rest of it stayed in, would that be okay?
I'll be fine.
Okay. But at the moment we have in front of us an amendment that leaves the entire six whereas out, leaves the entire six whereas in and takes number five out. We can't make a further amendment, but if there's an interest in leaving almost all of that whereas in the resolution but takes out the last clause, we'd have to vote this one down and we'll go back again. All right, Mike.
I really want to see a compromise here because I agree with Frank. This is a good thing. And I have been persuaded by Dooley's amendment to leave in the quotation about the United Nations General Assembly and the whereas, but remove the number five. And I think that that would be a reasonable compromise if other people do.
Okay, Pat and Dooley.
Are you moving it? Or?
Mike's just spoken in favor of Dooley's amendment.
I basically was going to say the same thing that Mike just said, and just want to reiterate that I would, too, really hope that we can find some way to pass this tonight because I think it's a really important document, and it is, as Leslin said, it does express our support for the Indigenous peoples, and if we can find a way to do it, I would very much like to support that.
Dooley, you're next.
I don't need to speak.
Okay, what's on the floor now is 1, 2, 3. The sixth whereas stays in its entirety, but number five on the second page comes out.
All right. I seconded that.
All right.
I seconded that.
All in favor of that amendment to the resolution, please raise your hand.
Did you ask if that was friendly to the mover and the seconder?
No, but we're
it's
voting.
Not necessary.
We're voting. So
that was the amendment. It was, and it was okay.
It's not to me. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, this is a new amendment. This is an amendment to the resolution, and we're voting on it. Okay. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Nate, your hands up. 2, 3. Opposed. 4. That. I've got 10 yes, 4 no. Pam's not here.
I didn't raise my hand for no.
You didn't. Okay. So Carol, Frank,
you didn't.
Dave.
The no votes, please raise your hand again. Frank, Carol, Brian, Dave. Okay. That amendment passes. Okay? So I presume that makes a moot point of Pat's First Amendment, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it, Mike.
Call a question on the main motion now.
Well, we have to vote on this amendment first.
That's
We voted to make that the main amendment. Now we have to actually vote to accept it. All right? All in favor of that amendment? Making that the, changing the main motion.
I'm biting my tongue here.
10. Opposed? 4. Passes 10-4, so that's the main motion.
Nicer than I am.
Mike, did you say you called the question?
What? Yes, folks are just ready to vote.
I guess we're not.
Then I call the question.
Seconded by Jim. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. Opposed? That passes 10-4. We're ready to vote on the main motion as amended, which is our motion, is our amendment, our motion from your folders that includes the entire whereas number 6 and takes out number 5. All those in favor of that resolution, please raise your hand. Opposed? That passes 11-3.
Thank you very much, and I will be sure to let our friends and family who are of the Haudenosaunee know that this body supports their efforts. If I may, Madam Chair, may I make one announcement quickly? I neglected earlier, and I apologize for that, to let folks know that there is a forum for the judges' candidates next Thursday the 14th at GIAC from 6 to 8 p.m. It is being sponsored by the Latino Civic Association, the Community Leaders of Color, the Asian American Association. For all four of the judges' candidates is a candidate forum at GX 6 to 8 p.m., and I hope that folks will attend. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Leslin. Frank?
Yeah, two comments. Leslin, if when you transmit the information, would you be sure to let whomever you're transmitting it to know of the specific concern regarding that phrase about the land rights? Not, it's certainly not in opposition to supporting the effort, and I think that's what was hanging me up. I want to be candid with you.
Understand that, Frank. And if we are being televised, I'm sure they're watching us right now.
Only if you have a digital TV.
Yeah, they probably do not. And I will make sure to convey that.
The other one is a question or a comment for our chairwoman.
Yes.
We were very deliberate in decommissioning flags and moving the seal when, and Mike led that effort, when we moved out of our former location. But even though we cut the ribbon about, I don't know, 5 hours ago, we never did anything with that seal. Are you going to do anything tonight about that?
We have thought about that a little bit and thought, you know, it might just be a smoother. We had a, you know, just a ceremony thing. There. No, we're done. It's up. It's. I don't want to touch it. No, Kathy and I talked about that today and thought it would be unnecessarily complicated.
Enough said.
Okay. All right, can I get a motion on the minutes of July 16th? Moved by Pat, seconded by Frank. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Is there discussion? We have discussion first.
Discussion.
Okay, so I just want to, again, register my dissatisfaction with these minutes. I realized, this time in looking at them, I realized that there are committees that reported, you know, that aren't even listed, you know, as having existed at the meeting. And that I'm sure that's been true other weeks, but I just came to that realization is that we, even if, unless your committee has a resolution that's coming forward, the name of it isn't even listed, as though your report didn't exist. So I'm just continuing to have problems with the fact that our minutes don't show everything that we've done in some way, and I hope at some point we can revisit this. We said we would do that after we lived with it for a while.
Perhaps the minutes could simply say you know, I see Capital Plan Review. The only thing on there is that Ms. McBean Claiborne arrived at 6:09. So perhaps I can just be the chair.
Report. At least that there was a report.
Chair gave a report. Okay, that's.
I move we adjourn.
We didn't vote on the minutes yet. All in favor of the minutes, please raise your hands.
Aye.
Any opposed? Two opposed. Motion to adjourn. All right, we're adjourned. That's all. We didn't vote on that. Thank you all.